This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the cool, sunny voice of your local announcer for today's delicious discussion, How Good is the Food That We Eat? I'm not just talking about how healthy it is for you, although that's a consideration, but how delicious is it? Because we sit around here and we talk about this, just about all the things that we get into on the matter of eating, cooking, making your own food from scratch, making your own wine. You can make your own almost anything, and sometimes you can even make it better than you can, whatever that means. And redistributable among all the listeners at 105.3 FM HD2. So we're ready to go with you. We have nice facilities for you to change, to swap.
This is not a beach house, Tom. Just the studio.
It's not a beach house.
It's just the studio. No. Hi there.
I don't know. Studios are exciting if you're a certain mind head.
Let's see. Today is Tuesday. And we both had a good lunch, but not together.
Did I tell you that I just walked over here all the way from Jackson Square?
Tom's extremely proud of himself.
I am. Why should I not be?
How was your lunch at Two Jacks? Was Mark there? Did you talk to him?
Mark was not there, but there was a waiter who knew me, who recognized me immediately because there have been several times that we've dined there, and in a group, in fact, a few times, and this guy remembered and knew what we wanted, so we...
And the first thing he said was, Tom, you've lost so much weight. And you said, I've only lost 80 pounds.
Only 80 pounds. That's right. Anyway.
Since I missed that story, I had to do it myself. Go ahead.
He was,
so glad I missed it.
A nice guy and knew his stuff. And let me tell you
He gave you all the lowdown?
He gave me the lowdown. But
right,
even better than
it.
That, he gave me the brisket.
Ah, you had the brisket?
This is the breakfast. Excuse me, not breakfast. This will be the lunch that I just had. It started off with oysters, oysters that you put up on a...
Rockefeller?
No.
The anvil?
No, not either one of those. It wasn't a fried version of it. It was, those are baked.
Those are grilled. So yeah. What did you have?
This was on skewers. They would put the oysters
like on. Oysters en brochette.
Oysters en brochette.
Okay.
Exactly that. But they had an interesting little twist on it. Oysters en brochette with pork bellies instead of bacon.
Mm.
Now, I've never run into that before.
You must have loved that. I know how you love pork belly.
Actually, I don't like pork belly.
Yeah, I know you don't like pork belly.
But I thought it was an interesting play. It certainly wasn't bad. And so we started off with that.
Well, now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Was the pork belly cut in chunks between the oysters? Because the oysters en brochette is the... wrapped in bacon and then all of it deep fried. So how did this play out?
They did it exactly that way, and they cut the pork loin.
The pork belly was
pork
in
belly,
chunks, and it was
no, it was
deep
in
fried.
Slices. It was in slices, about maybe that thick.
All right. So if it was in slices, was it then wrapped around the oyster?
No, it was the thing that was wrapping the other things. So this was being used as a wrapper, and underneath, inside, you had some little vegetables, and there was a sauce in there as well. It was well put together with a funny ingredient, one funny ingredient, which I thought was actually pretty interesting and very, very traditional. I mean, pork bellies in New Orleans, you don't hear about it too much, but a lot of people love it.
I love it. And you see it a lot. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, go ahead. So what?
So that was the essence of my lunch.
That was it? That was all you had?
I was stuffed.
Wait, you had brisket and oysters and brochette and you were done?
All right. If you were to go to the typical restaurant and ask oysters en brochette, whether they're with pork bellies or just bacon, They would give you probably six if you're lucky. This one had about eight.
Really?
And they were pretty big. So there was a lot of food there just on that.
And you had the brisket first, though?
I had the brisket second as the entree.
Oh, I see.
And I have a pretty good recollection of that from the days when that was their signature dish. And I can tell you it still is their signature dish.
Served with?
Not a whole lot, but it was sprinkled with some green onions. And in the case of the brisket, they made a combination of horseradish and ketchup, which is, again, classic. That's where it came from. And that was very good. It was very tender. It wasn't cooked too hard or too light. And there was one other aspect to it that struck me as a little. A lot of good fresh vegetables, Brussels sprouts, and they had some mashed potatoes that actually tasted good, and a few other things. It was to tell you the truth, I was surprised at how good it was.
Good. Was it busy in there? Is everybody going in before they move?
I would say that it was a 90% of the room was filled.
Oh, great.
Maybe even more. It was pretty much I was happy that I walked in and got a table immediately.
You know,
and they weren't looking up to me. Everybody got it that way.
You know, I went to lunch at Antoine's today.
Lucky you. My favorite.
Yeah, and we were talking about the move, the Two Jacks move.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought
I bet
about...
you were, because Antoine's is the oldest restaurant in America, and Two Jacks is number two.
Well, we were talking about it because we were wondering how the whole move would work out for them. And it occurred to me in the conversation that, you know... if Two Jacks has a ratio of customers, tourists to locals, like the other restaurants, and mm-hmm. I'm sure it is, which is something like 80% to 20.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right.
Then they really don't have anything to worry about, because the people who are coming in from out of town don't know how iconic that building is, and they don't have... a really etched in their brain order that this must be. So I think they'll do just fine.
Well, the issue here is, and I'm glad that they've gotten this word out, it was not so much a matter of how good what the prices were like or anything like that. The problem is that building that they are in has a very, very high historic quality to it.
Yeah, sure.
And if they wanted to add on, let's say, a bathroom on the second floor, I don't think they have one up there. I may be wrong about that. But they had some lack up on the second floor in particular. There was not much they could do with it without taking out the historic quality of it, and the guys who run the French Quarter, they won't allow that, and with good reason.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's all done now, and I was just wondering how the locals would react to that, but it turns out, the more that I think about it, that maybe that's really not something they have to worry about, because if it's mostly tourist, as it is with so many of the others, then I think they're probably going to do just
fine. I'll say this. Everybody was happy, including the waiters and the customers who had never been there before.
So, you know, if you don't have an attachment to it, to that building, then it's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ron, the gourmet waiter, who's
Ron,
on the phone.
Ron, the gourmet waiter.
Okay. Hello, how are you all doing?
We're doing pretty well. What about you?
It is officially barbecue season with the new cool weather coming in.
Aha! Yes, it is.
So I'm planning a barbecue for my neighbors tomorrow. I was going to tell everyone what was going to be on the menu.
Oh, fire away.
Okay, I'm going to do a boudin stuffed chicken.
Sounds great.
You sold me on it.
I'm going to get the ground pork. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cut up the chicken liver, some Cajun seasoning, some green onion, and some rice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make the boudin, and I'm going to stuff the boudin in the cavity and in between the skin and the meat, and then I'm going to smoke this with cherry wood for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great.
That sounds wonderful to me.
Is a a shrimp and breadcrumb stuffed catfish.
Shrimp and
Solomon's.
You're in the
catfish.
Stuffing
shrimp
mood.
Shrimp and breadcrumb. I'm making a stuffing out of it. It's going to be a shrimp stuffing, and I'm going to stuff that inside of the catfish fillets that I've got from DeSolomon's, and go ahead and grill those too.
Well, just last night we had something almost identical to that, except it had almonds in it on top of it, and that was produced mostly for me, mostly also by my darling Mary Lee, who's sitting over here.
All right, so go ahead, Ron.
Anyway, speaking of catfish, a lot of people don't realize this, but there was a guy named John Law in England, and he owned some land south of New Orleans. He was trying to get the Germans to move on it, and when he got the Germans to go move down there for free, they started fishing in the bayous, and they were pulling up these beautiful catfish.
And
they prepared them to market, brought them to the French market, and it became known as DeSolomon's, which means of the Germans.
The Germans, yeah.
Unofficial catfish capital of the world.
That's true.
All right. That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. John Foles, the chef, came on the show. He was the first person that I, as a guest host, brought onto your show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me about the significance that the Germans had in establishing Louisiana. And
very
they have
true.
A lot of culinary history.
Yeah, I've been lucky enough to be able to do some of the research that you'd need to really come up with something. Right around Manresa Retreat House, where I go every year, we're getting close to that time of year, in fact, and that whole area there is seen on old maps as the German coast. And you say to yourself, where's the Germans and where's the coast? But they're both there. And it's a distinctive part of the culture around there.
What Chef Foles did is he got the genealogy records, and he went over to these seven countries to go find out who these people that came to Louisiana were.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I didn't know that.
He's a know-it-all, and I mean that in a nice,
complimentary way.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really is doing a lot of neat things. And I'll tell you what, when he came on the show, he was the nicest person I've ever met.
Oh, he is a doll.
Not only did he drive in from Donaldsonville.
So are his people.
But he said, just tell me what you want me to do, Ron. And I said, look, it's my first show. When I ask you a question, talk for 5 minutes.
Oh, he can do that. He can easily do that.
Yeah, that's a good choice of hosts for a talk show.
Yeah.
Because he really does know it.
He'd like to come back sometime.
I told
him the other day. He'd love to come back.
Good. Yeah, we'd love to have him.
Anyway,
he's for real. He's one of the.
I don't know when he's here, but that's good. Thanks for the tip.
You know, he used to have his own radio show.
I believe that
he did it in the morning on Saturdays.
Yeah.
And let me continue doing mine anyway, despite the immense contrast between he and me.
Anyway, well, good luck with your party, Ron. That sounds yummy, especially the
boudin
stuffed chicken.
I'm going to take some pictures of it and email it to you.
All right, good. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Take care. Great show. Thanks as always.
260-6368 is the number. That's 260-MENU. So I had, not far from you, a wonderful shrimp remoulade, and that was really it. Tell you what, we were in the Hermes Bar.
That's a cool place, isn't it?
It's a very cool place.
And a little bit of history that used to be known as the president's room.
Yeah. First of all, it was freezing in there because the doors were open.
Always
and I am underdressed for this kind of weather. I left the house with plans for the whole evening, and I am going to be freezing all evening, I think. Anyway, it was a little bit chilly in there. Oh, we should take a break. So let me go ahead. We'll just take a break, and we'll do another cliffhanger about lunch at Antoine's.
Cliffhanger, he's coming on later, by the way.
And I want to talk about the Grand Dames and all the differences between them and how they're each really, really interesting in their own special way. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
Hello, it's the food show. I like the tone of that commercial or that USA. Yeah. What do they call it?
I don't know. Anyway, back to what I was talking about with the Grand Dame. So
yeah.
I had this, I had a shrimp remoulade, which was definitely different than the other shrimp remoulades. This one was Definitely spicier. It felt like it had some crystal hot sauce in it or something.
Oh,
and there
that
was chopped
normal.
Egg on top, mm-hmm. which is different than the others. And it was good. It's hard to make a shrimp remoulade that isn't good. It was a red one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that all three of them that I've had I don't know that I've had two Jacks, but I've had three of the five. And I like them all. But what I wanted to mention about this was that I was in the Hermes Bar, and there are all the different rooms at Antoine's.
Mm-hmm.
And each of them have their own personality, and they're interesting in their own way, along with the food. Then you go down to Broussard's, it's got the same thing going. Brennan's, the same thing. Two Jacks, they're all different in their own way.
Yep.
And I was just wondering, if you had to choose, if you were in New Orleans for only 2 days,
mm-hmm.
and you had allowed yourself a visit to a Grand Dame.
Just
and you
one.
Had, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you had been before, so you mm-hmm. knew them all, but you only had 2 days this time. Which of the Grand Dames would you choose to visit, and why, and what would you eat there? I don't know that I could answer that myself.
I can. I can answer it for me. I can't answer it for you.
Okay, so you're going to go to Antoine's, obviously. And what are you going to eat there?
I am going to have some oysters Rockefeller, and if they have any oysters Bienville, I'd get some of those too. And I would skip their soups because I don't think their soups are particularly good. But just about everything else I love. I think my favorite dish over there is chicken, not chicken bonfam, but what do they call that? It's a funny name. I've been forgetting it for a long
chicken
time.
Chicken puntalba?
It's kind of like chicken puntalba, though. Where the chicken is grilled, and then the sauce is basically a béarnaise sauce, to which
what you're going to have at Antoine's.
Yeah, well, that's,
really,
yeah, for
what
an appetizer.
What about oysters fauche and all the other stuff that you?
Well,
like to
I
get?
Would, you know, oysters fauche is one of those things you either take it or leave it. You can't have two of this and two of that. You're going to leave it?
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
I love
that sauce, though. That sauce is really good.
Yeah.
You can put all kinds of things in it.
Okay.
So I think that's my answer to what you said. And for dessert, I would, if there's anybody with me, then I definitely am getting a baked Alaska.
A baked Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. I think that I would go to Galator's, and I would have their crab meat imperial or whatever it's called.
Yeah, crab meat.
White crab meat.
Yeah.
And that impeccable, fried fish with the almondine.
Love it.
Meunier over it. It's just killer.
Even better,
yeah,
is pompano, if they have any.
Like that? Done that way or grilled?
They do it that way. They could do it
oh,
grilled.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Okay,
but
so you would have it grilled with the almondines? You
mm-hmm.
have to have the almonds on it. You definitely
yeah,
have to
the almonds and the wine, the butter and that little bit, this little bit of citrus in there.
Yeah, so I would say that that I love all of those restaurants. I
mm-hmm.
do. And I had a wonderful time sitting in the Hermes Bar today. I thought it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And
bet.
I just started thinking, which one, if I had to choose, which one would it be? Just for the one visit, and what would I eat? But I learned something that was interesting today, that the French Quarter restaurants are really pretty much dependent on tourists. 80%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can believe that.
Which is kind of shocking. So locals should go and support that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Especially because they're so interesting. I mean,
yeah.
These are interesting restaurants.
Oh, they definitely are. But there's also the issue of if you find a dish at Antoine's and you go again and again, at some point you might find that ebbing back from you because you eat the same dish again and again. On the other hand, there are people who only eat that way, who get something they like and they keep getting it.
I'm surprised to hear you say that you would get a grilled chicken dish at Antoine's. That does not seem like something you would do.
I remember it mainly because my buddy Chris Christopher, who got married there, actually that was where he had his reception.
At Antoine's?
No. Yeah, it was at Antoine's. Actually, it was a afterwards gift from me to him.
What?
Anyway,
You gave him a wedding?
I didn't give him a wedding.
That's a generous gift, Tom.
I made a gift of it, and with his wife to go over there and knock themselves out.
Uh-huh. I see. That was their wedding gift for them to go.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. And and when I did that, when it came my time to order, I just reading the chicken dish, chow rochambouche. That's it.
Chicken
rochambeau. I ordered that. I had it. I thought it was really great. My kind of dish. And I have been getting it off and on ever since. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really, and it's the least expensive entree on the menu.
Okay.
For what that's worth.
Let's go to Michael 75.
Michael 75. The other 74 are unknown.
Hello, Michael.
Michael?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey.
How y'all?
We're full of wonderful things.
By the way, the term "guys" is a gender-neutral term used
isn't
in
it?
New York.
And
Michael,
sure,
don't start any trouble on this show.
I've always wanted to be gender-neutral.
Okay. by the way, okay, two or three subjects you just broached. First of all, Rochambeau. Are you familiar with that guy?
Rochambeau?
The person it's named after?
I haven't checked it lately, but he was an interesting character.
Michael knows who he is, I'm sure, because he's French. Tell us about him.
And he's involved in the wars of various kinds.
Tell us about Rochambeau.
Yeah.
Well, history lesson real quick. You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
Fire off.
Okay. You would be sipping tea at 3 o'clock in the afternoon if it wasn't for Rochambeau.
Oh,
He's the one who won the Battle of Yorktown for us. Gave us our liberty.
So he's a Brit.
No.
He's not a Brit.
No, he defeated the Brits.
Oh.
But what's wrong with sipping tea?
I see.
Okay. Secondly, I just cooked some chicken bon fond with a Poppy Tooker's recipe. I got it online, the Two Jacks recipe.
Oh, great. Really?
Is it? Well, that's the two. Two of the same things, because she did their cookbook.
I didn't realize that chicken bon fond was Two Jacks.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't.
What did you think it was?
I don't know. Actually,
wait, let me write that down.
I don't
down.
Have any idea. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the third thing is the best remoulade in town. It's a white remoulade homemade by Dorignac. It's fabulous. And also, Dorignac makes one other great thing, because I saw you just had an ad for them. Their turtle soup is incredible. They give you so much turtle soup, and if you read the ingredients on the label, the first ingredient is, guess what? Turtle.
Yay!
Yeah. Good for them.
I'm trying to think of what I wanted to tell you, Michael, because there was something that made me think of you about a week ago, and I made a mental note to myself. When Michael calls again, I'm going to tell him that, and now I can't remember what it was.
Well, you said Michael calling him?
No, I said when Michael calls again, I'm going to tell him that, but I can't remember what it is now.
Okay, you know who Michael Corleone is, right?
Of course, yes, uh-huh.
Okay. So anyway, this guy was going to testify, one of Michael Corleone's close friends, against him at a Senate subcommittee hearing in Godfather 2. And so he had already given depositions and signed stuff under oath saying that Michael had done all kinds of murders and everything. So when he gets to the Senate subcommittee, he turns around and he sees his brother, just imported by Michael Corleone, from Sicily. And so he completely denies everything he said. And the guy's name was Frank Pentangeli. The word Pentangeli. Penta means five in Italian. Angeli is angels. So his nickname was Frankie Five Angels. And guess what the name of my new young horse is? Frankie Five Angels. He's going to run at the fairgrounds, hopefully.
When are you running it?
At the fairgrounds, hopefully. He's a young horse. He hadn't run yet. It'll be his first race if everything works out.
You don't know when it is?
You never know. Even if your horse has been running good, they give you what they call a condition book, which gives you the possible races for the next month or so.
I see.
And you enter your horse in the race, and if they don't have enough horses, the race will be canceled. So you never know.
If
there's too many horses, your horse might...
Yeah, nobody wants to work these days.
Well, good luck to Five Angels and to you. That must be exciting to have a horse.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was extremely fortunate. I had what I called a horse savant working for me, and he would buy me horses for real cheap prices. And one day when I'm in court, he said, I bought you a horse for nothing. I said, okay, let me see that bum. So I go out to the stables, and I look at him, and he's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the question, was his mama any good? No, she was a bum. How about his daddy? He was a garbage can. So anyway, I said,
I want to hear what happened. Go ahead. So what?
Well, I said, at least we have a beautiful horse. And then, strangely enough, he became the greatest horse ever born in the history of Louisiana. And the name I gave him, because you get to pick your own name, was E equals MC squared.
So when that's pretty cool.
I remember that. I remember that one.
When I'm picking his name out, my son and I were studying physics, so I asked, I told my son, I've got the name. And he said, what is it? I said, E equals MC squared. He said, that's the stupidest name I've ever heard for a race song.
The speed of light.
Well, who's stupid now? There you go.
Yeah.
Well, Michael, you're interesting as always. And if I remember it, whatever it was that I wanted to tell you, I'll just mention it.
Okay, I'll be listening. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you. It's
Michael.
The food show.
Bye.
Shall we have to take a break, I think.
6368. Keith, I hope you can hold on
for Keith,
just a couple
of minutes.
Yeah, Keith,
hang on. Don't go away. We'll make special.
Listen to WWL 105.3 FM, HD2.
Hello there. Welcome back. You are listening to The Food Show on 105.3 FM. We would love to talk with you about anything having to do with food, wine, or any of those things
But first, we're going to talk to Keith.
And we are going to talk to Keith, and why not? Keith, welcome to The Food Show. Have you ever been to Keith's Steakhouse on the West Bank? I mean, on the North Shore?
North Shore. Hi, Keith.
I don't live in the North Shore.
Yeah.
I live on the West Bank.
Oh, it's worth the trip. It's one of the great steakhouses around.
Hi, Keith. What did you call for?
Yeah, I wanted to know, what does Tom think of using Adolph's meat tenderizer on something like a brisket, say, $12 before you cook it?
Wait a minute.
On something like a what?
A brisket.
A brisket. Oh, okay.
A brisket.
It's a soft piece of meat.
Yeah.
And I thought about that, to tenderize it, use that, or if he's got any other ideas to make it a little more tender.
Cook it slowly. In just barely bubbling water, just a bubble coming up every now and then. Let her rip for...
No. But put it on the barbecue pit.
You could do it
that's fine.
You could do it on a barbecue pit, but you want to do it at a low temperature. You don't want to put it there, 450 degrees or sizzling. You want it to just sit there. And at this time of year, I would recommend doing it in the regular oven. But you could do it outdoors, too.
Why?
Just because, first of all, you need the kitchen space if you're like most people.
Well, he wants to do it on the grill. So
on the grill, you can do that.
On the grill. Yeah. You've done a million of those, but you didn't marinate it first, did you?
No, it doesn't have any function to do that because you have so much water that has kind of found its way in.
And fat. What Tom used to always do was put the fat side on top. And then cook it at a very low temperature, 250, 300?
Yeah.
Smoke it.
Yep.
And there would be some water in some container somewhere in that big green egg. Mm-hmm. And just for 12 hours, just like you said. But he never did tenderize it with anything. And it was perfectly tender.
Hurt? Do you think it would hurt to tenderize it with 8 ounces?
No, I can't imagine. Would you, Tom?
Do you think
it would hurt it to...
No, not really, but here's what you will get in return. It'll be kind of maybe crusty around the edges, which is great for a hamburger, but I think not quite as good for something
I love
like
it
a
on
brisket.
A brisket. That's what Mary Lee and I used to always go for, the crusty edges, for sure.
Well, God bless you, and go eat it.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go ahead and do that, go ahead. I'm sure it'll work.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Let me ask you this, though. If you had to go to a Grand Dame... Which Grand Dame would it be?
Yeah, we asked that question.
Amanda's Palace.
Good.
That's not really a Grand Dame, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where's the
Grand Dames are all in the Quarter.
They're all in the Quarter. Okay.
Yeah, they're the old ones. Well, I mean, Commander's is old too, but.
Galator's.
Yeah, I think that'd be mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be mine.
A lot of people's.
All right. Thanks, Keith.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Good luck. 260-6368 is the number. We were talking about there are two of us in this room, and there were two lunches at two of the Grand Dames. They were not the same lunch and not the same place.
Mm-hmm.
And in talking to my lunch companion today, we got on the subject of the difference in each one of the Grand Dames.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I started thinking about that on the way over here. I was thinking, if I had to choose...
But before you get started, can I ask a question? Because I think this is an important question.
Yeah, sure.
There is one restaurant which, to my mind, is very definitely a Grand Dame restaurant, but I think most people don't think of it that way. But to me, it really very much is. And I'll let you be the judge. Brennan's.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
I would consider it so, yeah.
Well, I consider it a Grand Dame, too, but it's not really. You're right. It's only been around since, the 50s?
1945 is when
it
started.
Yeah, that's really not a Grand Dame at all, actually.
Well, that's not too bad.
Yeah, but no, not the old ones, though.
Yeah.
Okay,
there's used to be... Really, only one.
All right, well, so let's take Brennan's out because that's not
all
really
right, okay.
One of the Grand Dames. So there's Galatoire's, Two Jacks, Broussard's, Arnaud's, mm-hmm. and that's it. Yeah. Of those four.
I feel like we've missed one of them.
Of those four.
But I guess I guess we haven't.
Arnaud's, Broussard's, Two Jacks.
Runs it through.
Yeah, I mean, if you were including Brennan's, then you'd have five. But no, let's not include Brennan's because 1945 is not all that old.
Yeah,
so,
that's true.
All right. So of those four, where would you go and what would you get? And I've decided I've never gone that much to Galatoire's, and I've never been a huge Galatoire's fan. But the last couple of times I've been there, that fish preparation... Nobody does it better.
Fish preparation.
Yeah, the fried fish with the almondine and the brown butter on it.
Oh, I love
nobody
that.
Does it better.
The brown butter especially. That's to me just nothing but delicious.
And the ravigotte is fantastic. So that would be my choice, I have to say. But I had a really great remoulade at Antoine's today. And
theirs is red still, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I say. It was red, and it had the crumbled egg on top, and it was a very nice portion, and it was really good. And I was just thinking, how would I compare this to Arnaud's? How would I compare this to Galatoire's and to Two Jacks? And like I said, I don't know that I remember Two Jacks. I know I've been there, but I haven't been that much, and it's been a long time. But I have gone to all the others fairly recently, and I like them all. I like them all, but they are distinctly different. They are distinctly different. And the reason that we got on this subject at lunch was that someone was saying that the tourists who come to town with a limited number of meals will likely choose just one Grand Dame.
Yeah.
And forsake the others because they are similar enough in their vibe and their age that you wouldn't want to spend all of your time in the Grand Dames. So you would, generally speaking, pick one. And so I thought I would put myself in that position as a tourist with some knowledge of them and I could only pick one, which one would I pick? And I thought that would be a really fun question to ask the listeners, but apparently I am alone in that thought.
Oh, yeah?
We haven't gotten a single call on it.
Nobody wants to say
what's... If you care to join our little party, 260-6368 is the number.
That's it,
so let's see. What, today is Alligator Day. Today is National Alligator Eating Day.
And watch it, because they'll
National
eat you.
Eat Your Alligator Day. What?
There's a little place out on Highway 90 on its way to Bootee. I think it's actually past Bootee. And it's an old gas station. It no longer functions as a gas station. Now it's a restaurant. And it's been there for quite a long time, I mean, like 50 years or more. And when you go there, there's a kind of a little park kind of surrounding what used to be the TV. I mean, what used to be the gas station. And they have this sign, and it's right at the edge of the water. And it's a big edged piece of
big sign.
Big sign. And it said, keep
don't feed the alligators.
Don't feed the alligators. Thank you very much for remembering that.
I'm so glad I could conjure that up from somewhere.
Thank you. Well, it's pretty elementary, too, but it's, but anyway, and they have this, this sign, and it has a circular section of it that says, don't touch the alligators. And they're not kidding.
No, it says don't feed the
alligators. Don't feed the alligators.
And then there's a separate one for the alligators that says don't
let the alligators feed you.
Anyway, Justin Kennedy just walked in.
I'll be
doing. He's here to talk about
something. We haven't seen you in a while. How you been?
I've been hiding out, Tom.
Well, did you escape from there without being caught?
I escaped. I just got back from Chicago.
No kidding.
I went to the game.
Oh, you did? Okay, good.
And I went with Chris and Anita Montero. You probably know Chris runs Napoleon House for Ralph Brennan. He used to run Baco for many, many years. But we went up there, and it was just the perfect time. Perfect
good
weather.
Game.
Perfect wind.
That's lucky, because it's usually really miserable cold over there.
Right. And by the end of the game, there was nobody but Saints fans in this in Soldier Field. It felt like you were in the dome, but there was no roof on it.
Well, good is all I can say to that. Good. Congrats to the Saints. It was, you know what? I was going to tape the game, but I went a little bit too early, and so I hit record, and then I didn't record the actual game, so I only recorded 10 minutes of the pregame. And I never did see the game, but I know we won. So was it a good game?
It was a great game.
It was, yeah. I'm sure it was good just by by its outcome. Did you do any good eating?
I did some great eating. So there's some old staples I always go to, and Chris and Anita are a lot bigger foodies than me. Like, they have a better palate than I do. I'm a sandwich guy. So I took them to the Drake Hotel. And the Drake Hotel has this soup, and they call it bookbinder soup. And it, to me, it's turtle soup, but made with red snapper. That's what I get out of it. Have you ever heard of this soup?
I have heard of it, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
Is it related to bookbinders in Philadelphia? Is there any connection?
I was about to say, you hit it, but I don't know if it was Philadelphia.
No, it is Philadelphia.
It's Philadelphia?
It's definitely Philadelphia.
Okay.
Is a bookbinder a thing, or what is that?
It's the name of a bookstore originally.
Okay. And, so you don't know of a connection.
But what I did ask the chef, without going into too many details, I asked him, this tastes like turtle soup, but with red snapper instead of
turtle.
And he said that's exactly what it is. So
Okay, good.
And it was delicious.
So what else did you find?
Okay, so in the foodie world, what's going on? It's real hip, and everybody wants to be involved in it. They got a place called The Girl and the Goat.
Yes, that is the hot one.
The Girl and the Goat.
The Girl and the Goat. Yeah, is it good?
It was very good.
Was it?
It's all tasting, all shareable plates.
Right.
But I mean, everything was really like they had pickled squash and.
Everything's pickled.
Goat belly confit with crab. You think it sounds crazy, but it's really good. And a whole bunch of other things. But Chicago's a foodie town. They got a lot of good stuff.
It really is. I think it's underrated.
Well, it's a very big city.
And the first night, I sell, as you know, Vienna beef, corned beef, and Vienna beef hot dog. They are the hot dog of Chicago. So he's the one to invite me up there, and we had tickets with him to go to the game.
Were you in a Chef Bodlin.
We had a box. We're in the Vienna beef box.
Woo-hoo!
All the Chicago hot dogs we wanted. Well, he took us Saturday night to a place called Erie Cafe. And it's like the Crescent City Steakhouse of Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I'm going to write this down.
Have you ever had an Italian beef in Chicago? That's it looks from a distance like a roast beef poor boy.
Yep.
And it's got a messy, lots and lots of gravy pouring out of it. It's not the same kind of bread, but it's the same shape.
Yep. It's like an Italian roll. And instead of like thick gravy like we're used to here, it's like an au jus.
Yeah.
Real thin.
And it's pretty darn good, I got to tell you.
Yeah.
Not as good as a poor boy, though.
It has, I call it a cousin to the olive salad. They call it jardinera.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, they put that on everything in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
Jardinera means garden.
Right.
You know, it's the whole pickle thing. All right, the girl in the gold. You know, when I first came back from Katrina, I realize I'm sure one of hundreds of people or thousands of people said that the burger thing was going to be really big because we had gotten turned on to Five Guys there.
Right.
And Five Guys was only in a few states at that time. And so I said, you know what, I think I should do like a burger place, like a gourmet burger place. And do you remember, Tom, that you said that the name of the burger place should be called The Boy Who Cried Burger, which I thought was a ridiculous name, but now there's The Girl and the Goat. There's a place in L.A. called Hinoki and the Bird. I mean, they're stupid names. So, I mean, is there any reason it's The Girl and the Goat or just somebody?
I have no idea.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, that's what I saw when I was looking at places in Chicago. That was the number one that everybody was talking about.
And
what else did you find?
It's that funny pizza of theirs. It's a foot and a half thick.
Yeah. So I've yet to try them, but the first place I go to when I get there is I go to Uno Pizzeria.
Yeah.
Pizzeria
that's
Uno.
The original.
They invented it. Ike Sewell invented
it
back in the 40s. I like it. I'd rather New York-style pizza.
Of course, yeah.
Any
I
day.
I can't imagine anybody.
Something you can pick up.
Yeah.
But I've made a bond with the bartender. His name's Sergio. He's from Pueblo, Mexico.
Okay.
And he's been there for like 30 years. I have an uncle that lives in Chicago, so I go all the time.
That's a classic.
Okay. So this is the original location.
This is the original location for Uno on East Ohio Street.
Okay.
And When I go there, you know, Sergio, he sends people to Parkway to come see me. When I go there, it was after a couple of years. He was knocking off. He said, you want to come get something really good to eat? And I had a little slice of pizza. I said, yeah. And he took me to a place. He said they only make it in Pueblo, Mexico. It's a sandwich, a Mexican sandwich called a semitas. And it's like fried pork chop, salami. It could even be like braised pork on top of that. Cheese, it's almost like a little muffalata bun.
Uh-huh.
It's a big sandwich. He took me for one of those, and it was great.
Where did he take you?
It's on Fulton Street.
And you don't know the name of it?
Well, it's where it's really coming up area. It's where Google is right now in Chicago.
Well, then
so.
It's a
Google
really
is always
area.
Google is
it's
always
gentrifying quickly. Then all you need to do is put a Google campus in. Okay. Well,
time around, he said, I'm going to go to this little lady. She makes tamales.
Mm, okay.
So he gave me a pound of green and a pound of red. And I haven't tried them yet.
Oh,
I froze them and brought them home. And I got home last night late, so I'm
you
yet
to
try. You
just got home from the game?
Oh, I got home late last night.
It's on Tuesday. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
But you go to a pizza place and you're getting... you're getting tamales.
Turned on to other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's a local guy. So, all right, what else did you find?
Let's see. I mean, we were.
Did you go? Did you actually go to Pueblo?
No.
Pueblo, Mexico? No.
Next time.
Because if you do go there, they have the greatest Mexican sauce in the world. Maybe the best sauce in the world. Mole poblano.
Yes. Right. That's where they invented
mole. That's where it comes from.
Yes.
Yep.
So how was the food in the box?
The food in the box was great. And they even, all the boxes have restrooms in the boxes. You don't mm-hmm. have to walk out.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring around a dessert cart.
Gee.
And in the fourth quarter, a dessert cart comes around and goes to every room with all kind of cakes.
Does it really? Really?
Pastries, yeah.
Ah, that's nice. Box life is nice, I have to say.
Yeah, it is nice. But I'm excited to be here. Every time I go on vacation, I know when I get back, it's going to be blowing and going. And this month's blowing and going for us. We got a lot going on at the restaurant.
What's going on that's new?
Well, you see, I'm a walking billboard right now.
I see that. We're going to talk about that in the next hour when you're officially on. We're just chatting right now.
Okay.
We'll talk about that because I'm coming up against the news anyway.
But Port Orleans, among many other things, that's the name of what used to be a seafood restaurant in West End. Nobody remembers.
Right?
It's a long time ago, and it went out of business.
I wonder if this is named after that.
It might be, but I doubt it. It's too long
Who's
ago.
Who's behind Port Orleans?
Jack Streif.
Yeah.
And Don, I think his name's, I don't know his last
Knotts.
Name.
Knotts.
No, not Don Knotts.
No, I think
Don and
Halston
Zach run Port
maybe?
Orleans.
Halston, maybe?
You know what?
Is it Halston?
Halston is the, one of the, Halston's one of the reps. Don Knoll.
Okay.
Is
all right. Okay.
But
yeah, but you're not really here for them anyway. You're here to talk about your poor boy, and we're going to talk about that at 4 o'clock.
Mm.
Okay. Yes. Let's do a New Orleans hamburger and seafood.
All right.
Time.
Shall we?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our program is sponsored by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. I've been doing the burgers quite a few times in the last few days, so I'm going to move over to the seafood part of it. One thing that they do there that's a very simple technique, but you do it and everything becomes magically delicious. And that is if you're frying, especially seafood, but just about anything protein,
you know
anyhow,
this.
What happens
Change the oil.
Is if you if the, your oil oh, starts mind. Seeming to be a little on the dark side, and you'll wonder why is it that when you change it out, it suddenly tastes a whole lot better. Well, think about that for about 10 seconds, and you'll come up with the deal. What you are trying to avoid is the oil in seafood that just gets overly many times used.
A really gross
idea, but you won't have to worry about it at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company because they redo their oil and everything else just about constantly.
And so the seafood comes out golden brown.
And it comes out golden
greaseless.
Brown and greaseless, all of those things.
Cooked to order, hot,
cooked
delicious.
Cooked to order. I mean, this is what you want.
And get it spice-alicious.
All of this, yeah, spice-alicious is available too. And also, you have 10 locations from which to get all of this. And you also have the opportunity to
char-grilled oysters.
Yeah, char-grilled oysters all of a sudden on it. New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company, 10 locations around town. Tell them I told you to come by and visit. More food in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.